How do you feel when you switch to Geico and save on your car insurance? It's like going to work on one Thursday morning and thinking to yourself, just one more day until Friday. But then somebody in the elevator says, Happy Friday! Then you check your phone quickly and discover today is actually Friday. So yes, Happy Friday, random stranger in the elevator. Happy Friday indeed. Yep, switching and saving with Geico feels just like that. Get more with Geico. How do you feel when you switch to Geico and save on your car insurance? It's like going to work on one Thursday morning and thinking to yourself, just one more day until Friday. But then somebody in the elevator says, Happy Friday! Then you check your phone quickly and discover today is actually Friday. So yes, Happy Friday, random stranger in the elevator. Happy Friday indeed. Yep, switching and saving with Geico feels just like that. Get more with Geico.
Hello, friends. We're back again. It's Fightful.com, and it's time for your TNA Bound for Glory post-show. It's October 26, 2024. I am at Joel Pearl, and, well, for those of you who watch us weekly here on Fightful to do our TNA post-shows, Cresta Starr is here. She joins us forever. How are you, Cresta?
What up? I'm from Sean's basement by way of the sewers.
Which is pretty typical for you, so we're glad to see you. And, of course, joining us from FightfulSelect.com, from the Weekender podcast, from the Spotlight over on Fightful Overbooked, the one and only Steven Jensen, King of Indie Viewing, is here with us as he is for the pay-per-views at TNA. How are you?
I'm doing great, doing great. I've had a great week and a great weekend. The only thing that has not gone well, my Minnesota Vikings, for everyone who saw, that was totally a face mask call. I'm not going to, you know, talk too much about the NFL today, but, you know, that was the one bad thing this week for me as a Vikings fan. Total face mask, that safety shouldn't have happened. But aside of that, had a great week. Watch UFC all day today before the Impact or the TNA show tonight. And yeah, I'm looking forward to talking about it with all y'all. And good to see everyone in the chat here tonight.
Plenty to talk about tonight, TNA Bound for Glory, a show that has a lot of people feeling a certain way. We're going to go through that and everything that happened on the show and some stuff that may have happened in the betting odds, because tonight's show is brought to you by our friends at Bet Online and Blue Chew. And of course, Fightful Select, the best $5 in the business, where you'll get all of your scoops. And as I mentioned, Steven Jensen does the Weekender podcast, where you can find all of the best in independent wrestling and the spoilers that you may want over on FightfulSelect.com. Best $5 in the business. Now, I'm going to get it from both of y'all right now. Give me an out of 10 for tonight's show. I'll start with you, Steven Jensen.
I'm probably going to be higher on it than you guys are, because y'all are going to be a little more jaded because you cover the weekly shows. So, you know, I will say I legitimately enjoyed this show. I love the main event. I thought that was pretty bonkers. We're going to get to a lot of stuff that I liked about the show. I'm going to give this show a solid, like, 7.5 out of 10, which is a good score for me. It's a very good score for me.
Yeah. Cressa, let me get your thoughts. Like Steven said, we do cover the show every single week on the site. We talk about everything that happens. So you went in with a different perspective. What do you think coming out of tonight's Bound for Glory?
I'm actually surprised, because when Steven was like, ugh, I'm going to give it this high score, I'm like, wow, my score is going to be dog. I want to give it a 9 or an 8. I only have a problem. The contents of the show itself were fine. I think if things were reordered a little bit to give the time to give the crowd a time to breathe, rest, that's it. I just think there was a pacing issue, but I would give it like an 8.5 out of 10. Joel, what's your score?
Just real quick, just for the record, I'm on like the Dave Portnoy one bite type scale, where like to get in like the nines for me is like the best, like WrestleManias are like in the nines. You know what I mean?
So that's
where like 7.5 is a solid score. I just want to make that clear. I enjoyed the show. Sorry, go ahead, Joel.
No, I'm with you on a 7.5. Maybe that's not on on the Portnoy scale. I'm more of a Mike Portnoy guy. That's me, but. For those of you who are Dream Theater fans or whatever he was in while he was out of Dream Theater for that. Anyway, point being, I'm a 7.5. I can lean towards an 8. It all depends on how I really take in this night. It was, me watching pay-per-views going to 11:30 when I get up at 6 in the morning, that can shoot me in the foot. When I go back and rewatch this, I will probably have a different feeling than how I do right now. But we have a lot to talk about. We want your thoughts in the chat. Hello, how are you? It's good to see you. So why don't you go ahead? Sean always does drop a fruit emoji. I want a lightning emoji. How about that? Give me a lightning emoji. Maybe you thought this was a good show tonight and you want to do that. Or maybe you want to drop a super chat. Any amount, get your question or statement read on the air. Or you can go to humperchats.com. Cresta Starr will tell you how, why, when, and where.
you're going to head on over to humperchats.com. That is humperchats.com. And you're going to put your comment and your dollar amount, which you get to keep a little bit more of, by the way. We're happy. Joel's happy. Steven's happy. The Decepticons are happy. Humperchats.com. Pay for our light bill.
Joe Hendry won't be happy, but that's okay. Your free 99 options include leaving a thumbs up on the video. We always love that. Leaving a comment after the fact, getting involved in the chat, and of course, subscribing to us here at Fightful and over on Fightful Overbooked, our sister channel here on YouTube. I love it. People are already getting those lightning emojis. Maybe you got claps. Maybe you got the clap from Joe Hendry because he didn't give you the clap tonight for that world championship. Let's start with the countdown real quick. Reckless Elegance defeats Zaya Brookside and Brinley Reese from NXT. Reckless Elegance, for those who are new to the way Cresta and I cover things, that's Ash by Elegance and the newly formed Heather by Elegance. We call them Reckless Elegance. But either way, good match, solid stuff. Reckless Elegance are going to start their ascent. Jensen, what do you think of this if you saw the countdown match?
I did. I watched the countdown match. Yeah, I did tune in for this because I was obviously wanted to see the Hall of Fame as well right after. But yeah, I thought this was solid. It was a... I'm trying to remember the finish was, I think, Ash with a like a swanton off the top, something I believe at the end.
Yeah, she uses what's called the rarefied air. Zaya Brookside was distracted by George Iceman, the personal concierge, and Reckless Elegance gets the win with rarefied air.
Yeah, I thought it was, I mean, a solid opener, got the crowd going. I understand why they did that before the Hall of Fame, like get everyone going with the match, you know, everyone's, you know, get a little jacked up at the beginning of the show and then, you know, go right on to the into the Hall of Fame.
Cresta, your thoughts on that tag match?
I was doing laundry. My apologies to both those ladies. It was fantastic. 10 out of 10.
Okay, you'll be talking more about Reckless Elegance in the weeks to come if you've been following our ongoing pursuit of the Knockouts tag team division, which got a little bit closer to everything I've been telling you people for the last month. Let's continue. The Call Your Shot gauntlet came up next. Frankie Kazarian pins newly inducted TNA Hall of Famer Rhino after a low blow, which kind of became a theme for the first half of tonight's Bound for Glory show. Frankie Kazarian wins Call Your Shot. That's a big deal going into the one of the three main events. Cresta, thoughts on Call Your Shot? Any surprises for you when it comes to this whole Call Your Shot gauntlet? Or no surprises?
Very happy to see Tasha Steelz in there. Always fun to see Knockouts talent in the Call Your Shot gauntlet. Frankie Kazarian winning. my eyes rolled so hard in my head, I summoned Cthulhu. Like, I was like, all right. But you know what? It's fine. Because you know what? If there's a smosh at the main event, one of them, there was, it makes sense. You have to Call Your Shot gauntlet. Overall, it was really, really nice. I was actually surprised AJ Francis did not win this. I feel like I say I'm an AJ Francis hater, but there's nowhere you can see me saying something bad about this man. So like the way that they had built him up to be this jerk, it was a fair match. I was actually just surprised AJ Francis didn't win.
Before I give it over to Steven Jensen, I will say this. The idea of having AJ Francis and Frankie Kazarian as the one and two in this match as the most likely winners really worked for me, only because you had AJ Francis giving you the option of Joe Hendry's first challenger, and then you had Frankie Kazarian in the, you know, referee spot for tonight. So I really like that they were going there. And of course, the addition of Rhino in the final four with JDC was really, really good stuff. Jensen, your thoughts on Call Your Shot?
Yes, so on the weekend or on my predictions, I actually predicted Rhino to win this because I figured like maybe like he goes into the Hall of Fame and then he gets like a random title shot. Maybe he uses it like maybe him and Heath like the tag titles or something like that, you know. So I had Rhino on my mind, but then once I realized, oh yeah, Kazarian's the referee in the main event, he's in number one, they're making a big deal out of that, and for whatever reason, like, it's a pet peeve of mine, but I should probably just get over it at this point after watching wrestling for over 30 years. Like, the first person in every Battle Royal and Gauntlet, like, should not always make it to the end. Like, that's so unrealistic. It always happens. Like, it's so annoying. Like, but it's like, so Kazarian's in number one. I'm like, well, he'll be one of the last two just because he's number one. And then everything else, now that they're kind of, you know, planning in my mind for the main event. So, once the match kind of got started, I was like, I think Kazarian's going to win this. But I think that it was smart to have Rhino in the match right after he got inducted into the Hall of Fame. He got a big pop for coming out. He hit the gore, you know, hit his greatest hits and all that good stuff. And I also want to quickly mention, because we didn't go through the Hall of Fame, it was really cool to see Rhino inducted. It was really cool to see Bob Ryder inducted. Both guys mean a lot to the company. Obviously, I can't do the same amount of justice as a company did in their video packages and their induction speeches and everything. But, is it the WWE Hall of Fame level of prestige? No, not necessarily. But it's a really, really, really cool thing to be, one of like 12 people total to be, recognized by your company as like some of the best people. And I think it's really cool for a guy like Ryan to have his night in front of his fans, in Detroit. So I wanted to say all that too. This felt a lot like Rhino's night, and like it was pretty feel good, even though they didn't actually wind up winning the gauntlet.
Yeah, and I wholeheartedly agree. I thought the addition of Bob Ryder to the TNA Hall of Fame is long overdue, and I'm glad that they got to induct him, albeit posthumously. Having Eric Young come out there and also say very kind words. Eric is a great speaker and a great face for TNA. He's always been very positive to the brand, so for him to be able to speak to Bob Ryder's legacy was fantastic. With Rhino, yeah, everything you just said and more. He continues to shine. Rhino has always been one of my favorite wrestlers to watch, going all the way back to ECW when I used to listen to the pundits say that he can't cut a promo because he swears all the time. Well, here he is. He's in the TNA Hall of Fame, and he might just join the WWE Hall of Fame one day. He did put them over strong in his acceptance speech, and then of course he took off all his clothes and then got into the ring and had a match. So good for Rhino. Love that man.
In my opinion, he should absolutely be a WWE Hall of Famer as well, just for what it's worth. I mean,
so, yeah. The only thing I would have done differently, I would have speared Tommy Dreamer.
Yeah, he really set that up talking about the other inductions who had turned on him before that. So. Yeah.
Can't believe they couldn't do that. But anyway, let's talk about the main card, shall we?
The one thing they didn't mention about Rhino, the one thing that always gets overlooked about his career, he was the reason that the SmackDown fifth stage was destroyed. And everyone was always wanted that back. He's when you spear Jericho through that thing. And I'll never forget that he was the one who did that. That always gets overlooked. But that was like a big Rhino moment for me that people don't talk about. But anyway, sorry. I didn't mean to cut you off, Joel.
No, you're good. Let's cut into the main card, shall we? The X Division Championship opens up the show. It's on the line. Speedball Mike Bailey, the X Division Champion, defeats El Hijo de Vikingo. Although, later on in the night, if you saw what some of the graphics from TNA were, Vikingo actually won the match. But hey.
You saw that. I was like, what's transpiring here?
I'm sure there will be some more reporting over on FightfulSelect.com. People have been asking in our Discord, best $5 in the business. Sean will get the answers. This was a fantastic match. I said, going into this, everyone was like, well, prediction-wise, so it's Speedball wins, 5.5 stars. It's going to be a lot of fun. Don't know if it was, quote, 5.5 stars, but they definitely hit a new gear at the end of the match. They did really well. I liked it. Vikingo's been off on the shelf, hurt for a little bit, but for him to come back and pull off a lot of the moves that you expect from him, it's pretty high praise. Cresta, what do you think of this match between Speedball and Vikingo?
I DM'd you because I got carpal tunnel trying to write notes for this match. X Division matches, especially with Speedball, are so good. I have so many notes, but there was an Ultima Weapon for only two into a Flamingo Driver counter into a Destroyer from Vikingo. That, just that alone was the whole match, if you think about just the sequences. My only complaint, this match was perfection. 10 out of 10, 80 stars in the Tokyo Don't Fight Your Mother. But I was wiped out after this match. This is like when you go to your favorite restaurant, you eat so much and you want to sleep during the rest of the day, but you're going to Universal and Disney and you're about to win $1 million. I was so full. This match was so good that anything else, especially the match after this, poor girls, anything else after this, I was just like, I couldn't describe it besides when you eat too much of your favorite food and now you're full and you literally can't enjoy the rest of the day because you're in a food coma. I was in a wrestling coma after this because I was exhausted. And you could also tell the crowd was also exhausted after this match. But this match was fantastic, phenomenal. Watch this match. If you are like, what is the X Division? Watch this match. Watch this match. Stop playing. This is a great match. Great match. 10 out of 10.
Commentary did a really good job of putting over the X Division afterwards. They used the tagline, it's not about weight limits, it's about no limits. And this is what that match was. It was everything as expected. Just to push back on your food analogy, I will say it's more like Chinese food. You can eat a ton of it and you'll be stuffed and then you'll be ready for more after, 25 minutes. And that's how I felt. There were a couple down matches and then you get back into it. Jensen, your thoughts on Speedball and Vikingo?
Yeah, this match was awesome. But it's also one of those things where my expectations were insanely high going into it because, covering indie wrestling as long as I have, Speedball is a guy who is one of the most, if not the most consistent, you know, as far as just great match against any opponent, any company. I mean, so you expect it. And then Vikingo, we all know, is one of the most innovative guys in the game right now. Like, in any company he pops up in, absolutely kills it. Like, he's an attraction wrestler. Like, people know he's on the card and people tune in. He was one of those guys people would joke about. You know, he's on the PWI 500 a few years ago, you know, towards the top, and people are like, I've never seen his matches, but I've seen like a ton of his clips. You know what I mean? It's like, he's like a viral superstar who has great matches with everyone as well. So like, you expect a lot out of these two. They totally delivered. I'm happy to see Speedball retain. And I mean, I don't know what the plans are going forward, considering that graphic we all saw that y'all were referring to, but you know, and to y'all's point as well, you know, as also as somebody who was like an OG fan of the Nashville Asylum days of TNA with the X Division, this is the vibes of the original X Division. Is like the two guys going out there and just blowing people's minds, you know. And it kind of like Preston was saying, it was like eating dessert first. Like, you got like the best thing like right away. And I do think that like this was like bell to bell, this was the best match of the night, in my opinion. And it was the opener. There were some other great matches we're going to talk about, but like, as far as like just a one-on-one back and forth sports entertainment wrestling match, this was the best on the show. I think this is great.
What's amazing to me in my conversations with Mike Bailey is that he understands when, especially when it comes to televised wrestling, he can do a 6-minute match as much as he can do a 60-minute match. He knows how to work cameras. He knows how to work a commercial break. He's really friggin' good at this. And then when you get in a guy like Vikingo, you know that they're going to go and they're going to hit those spots. Speedball tried something new tonight. Instead of his traditional springboard moonsault, he hit a corkscrew instead, which is a little changes to his repertoire always make me feel good about him. And then Vikingo doing the counter to the tornado kick, really enjoyed that, getting his number, love that stuff. And then Meteor Rain being the finish from Speedball was unexpected, because it's not an easy move. It looks really fun, but it gets the job done, and it's not something you normally see from Speedball. For example, the match that Speedball had against Leon Slater recently, we talked about the triple combo he had to hit on Leon Slater to get the win. He had to do the flamingo driver. He had to do the meteor, not the meteor. He had to do the double knees, and he had
ultimate
to do the ultimate weapon. Thank you. He had to use all three to put down Leon Slater. Whereas with Vikingo, he had to use the meteor rain, which is, it doesn't look as impactful as that triple combo. So I found that interesting in this match. But of course, Vikingo's the new X Division champion, according to TNA. So, no, he's not. Speedball got the win. There's a graphic that went on, for those who haven't watched the show, where Vikingo is called the new X Division champion. I'm sure that's going to get taken care of. But either way, let's move on. Great matches that was. Knockouts tag titles were up next. Spitfire defeat the team of Rosemary and Wendy Chu. Chu Marie, as I call them. Folks, told you once, told you again. I have booked the next three champions in the Knockouts tag division. Spitfire will drop it to Reckless Elegance, who will then drop it to Rosemary and Havoc. Rosemary takes out Wendy Chu after the match, because of course they're going to feud and Halloween is around the corner. But other than that, Knockouts tag title match. Steven Jensen, let me get your thoughts first in this whole Spitfire Chumery match.
So, like Preston mentioned a moment ago, this was a tough spot to be in. This is going to be a tough spot for anybody coming off of that opening match. I mean, they went out there and they worked hard. It's, you know, it wasn't like it was a bad match. It was just, you know, following an incredible match. And then the match following it with Alexander and Macklin was really good as well. I mean, this was one of those things where, like, it's cool to see Wendy Chu, like, in TNA. I cover Level Up on the Weekender. So, like, I was watching her, like, kind of learning in front of everyone's eyes on Level Up, and she's really improved and changed a lot over that time, obviously. It's just one of those things where there's not a whole lot I can say about the match itself. Like, the turn afterwards seems, you know, kind of more important, you know, overall. But Russ, how did you feel about it?
I wasn't mad. Like I said, it was a tough spot to be in. This crowd was exhausted. They had the food coma going on. But again, it's nice to see Wendy Chu and Rosemary. And at this point, when this match came on, and once I got to like the last third, I was like, Joel Pearl, you are the Miss Cleo tonight, because everything you said is gonna have happened is gonna have happened. They win the match, and then Rosemary turns on Wendy Chu, because what did Joel say last Thursday? Somebody gonna turn on someone, for there's a reason for this team to break up, and poof, never to be seen again. And look at you. So I gotta give Joel Pearl his flowers. He really had his Miss Cleo hat on tonight. So
why is there still a body pillow at play in this? Shout out to Jody Threat for German suplexing a body pillow.
It popped the crowd. They love that. They started chanting pillow, which I was like, okay, guys, get into the match. Stop playing with me.
They were having fun. But yeah, Dani Luna looked great. So did Jody Threat throughout the match. The pressure drop gets the win. Rosemary hits a spear on Dani Luna and then stops the count. And that's really when everything kind of went south for Rosemary and Wendy Chu. That's kind of why this is what was weird with Rosemary being the one to turn on Wendy Chu. Rosemary's the one who caused the eventual defeat. So there's just a little bit of like dissonance in the story. But again, Wendy Chu and Rosemary will have a little feud. Jessica Havoc will come back and that'll be that. So let's move on, shall we? For those who are on Fightful Select, you got our Bound for Glory scoops thread in which we had an underdog betting pick. And you know where those came from? Well, let's hear from our guests right now.
BetOnline AG. All of our odds that we've ever gotten from wrestling, MMA, boxing have come from BetOnline. We are so proud to be doing business with them. A lot of you guys are saying, wait, you can bet on pro wrestling? Yes, you can bet on pro wrestling. In fact, I've got it at a minus 200. This lawnmower outside my window isn't going to stop by the time I do this ad read. You hear that? I would have made some money at BetOnline AG with that prop. Go check out the BetOnline wrestling odds. That's the only ones you have ever seen on Fightful, because we only trust BetOnline AG. They're 25 plus years. Their safe and secure environment. Their high limits. Their credit card acceptance is all unmatched. You can bet big with their rebet functionality as well. The earliest lines that you're going to find, whether it be wrestling, MMA, boxing, or other sports, BetOnline. Check them out.
BetOnline.ag sponsoring us tonight. And of course, while you're at it, please bet responsibly. Cresta, on Thursday night, we were given other odds that we kind of laughed at, and that includes the Knockouts World title match. We'll talk about that in a little bit. But the underdog pick for tonight was Josh Alexander, and he defeats Steve Maclin. Sinner and Saints had travel issues. They were not available for tonight. This match, Steve Maclin, if you're listening, cover your ears right now. He was really friggin' good, man. Okay? Really good. I don't want to boost this man's ego. I don't. He's got a new theme and it sounds good. He did the 10 suplexes that Josh Alexander does. This was such a fun match for these two men because they've never worked the opposite babyface heel depth chart against each other. They've never done that. Maclin gets the zip ties. He gets zip tied. And what does he do? He keeps fighting. And what does he do? He fights better than ever. That's the best scud. That Lope, that's the best one he's ever done.
Dude, except for like, he like skidded his forehead on the ground after that. That was a little, you know.
He did not care, which was
crazy. Oh, no, he didn't care. I'm not saying he cared. I'm just saying like, I was a little worried like when he landed, because he did skid a little bit, you know, at the end there. But it was, I mean, I respect the YOLO dive, of course.
We had another low blow because, you guessed it, Daniel Spencer was injured in the corner, because if there's one thing Daniel Spencer's good at, it's getting injured and distracted. I see you out there not doing your job. But the finish, Josh Alexander hits the he gets Maclin in the ankle lock. Maclin passes out. Hell of a finish. Josh Alexander is now two wins in singles competition over Steve Maclin, and he does it without help, which is even stranger when you get through this whole match. Cresta Star, we followed this story. What did you think of this match?
Shout out to the walking wiener, because he
very good.
It's so weird that when I started watching TNA, that Josh Alexander was this beacon of, bro, I am Mr. TNA. And now to see him get booed, walking wiener, for him to just stop what he was doing to be like, I could power drive this guy, German him. But you call me the walking wiener? I mean, that's what he was. And they started chanting wiener when he hit him in the thing. I mean, it makes sense. This was a phenomenal match. And I have to second you. Macklin is as a baby face in peril, you son of a bitch, Morty. I'm in. This is good. This is great. The zip tie spot. I was like, get him out. I'm literally screaming at my screen. Like, this is a horror movie. Like, get him out. Get him out. And when Daniel Spence's like, I got you. And he's like, no, get off me. I'm like, no, Macklin, why are you about to lose this match? Stop it. This was a good match. This was a good match. The 10 spots was amazing. The tombstone on Macklin, while he was still, that was gnarly, bro. Like, death. This match was, again, a good match, but I, too, was still fatigued from that first match. I tried to even get into the Danny Luna, the Spitfire match with Wendy Chu, and even then I was like, damn, I want to write more, but damn, this is, the whole night, all I had was cheesecake all night, and this was another slice of cheesecake.
I was with you, Cresta, on the zip ties. Well, for first off, it's a little weird when, like, so the referee is distracted, and when he realizes that Macklin's zip tied, it's like the commentators are, you know, they're trying to play it off like, well, you know, the referee doesn't know how this happened, like how the zip ties got there. And it's like, well, use some common sense. Like, who else would have done this? You know what I mean?
Yeah, I was surprised that wasn't a DQ, but I was like, yeah, I'll let it rock.
Right.
He didn't see it happen.
Right, he didn't see it happen. But then it's like, okay, wouldn't the next course of action be like, okay, nothing happens until the zip ties come off this man's wrist, because, you know, this is completely unfair. And to be fair, that's what they were trying to do, right? That was the story of the match, was like, Macklin was refusing the help because he saw that Alexander, even in like the split, you know, the few seconds it would take to cut, you know, to cut him free, Alexander was still moving around to where Macklin felt like he had to stay on the attack. So like, I get that is ultimately like what they were going for. So it didn't really bother me, but it did, like, as a fan though, I was the same as Cresta, where I was like, dude, just let the ref let him cut it off. Just let him set you free and you'll be good for the rest of the match. But that's also way less impressive than what we actually wound up seeing with him doing all these moves while he was, you know, while he had his hands tied behind his back. So, I mean, you know, I get it. You know, wrestling isn't all about the logic, which I'm going to get to with some other stuff for tonight as well. But, like, you know, I thought it was a really damn good match. And, you know, not that they necessarily, like, needed to protect Steve Macklin, because he's already, you know, one of the top guys consistently in TNA. But him not tapping out is by design, I feel like, because, like, they're keeping, you know, it's not tapping out is different than tapping out. He still loses, but, like, you know, there's still some meat on the bone there to come back to between these two guys, because he never actually tapped.
By the way, over on our Fightful Select Bound for Glory Scoops thread, Deonna Purrazzo was there visiting. Of course, she is Steve Macklin's wife. So that was something that you get over on FightfulSelect.com, the best $5 in the business. The match was fun. The match was good. And the zip ties have been a part of the story for the last few weeks. So it was inevitable. And we'll talk about it later with Moose and Santana when the chain came into play. And that's been part of their story as well. So there were some callbacks throughout the night to what's been going on TV. And I can always appreciate that as a weekly viewer. But let's move on, shall we? Monsters Ball, the TNA digital media, and get ready for this, the Lutte Internationale, Canadian International Heavyweight Championship, because that's a title that still exists for some reason on Impact. It should have been taken away after Slammiversary, but because PCO has it, we still have to put it up on the line. PCO defeats Matt Cardona. Matt Cardona is on a handshake verbal agreement with TNA. Again, coming from our Fightful Select Bound for Glory Scoops thread, best $5 in the business. Look at you. You're getting all the scoops. So give us the $5, shall you? Do it. Why aren't you doing it? We got so much more content for you. Cardona. Cardona is a treasure. Okay, let's get that out of the way right now. Comes out in his Ghostbusters gear, his GCW Ghostbusters gear, because he's about to have the Deathmatch King GCW match, doors and all. This match is fun. They bring out the tacks. They bring out the chairs. They bring out the doors. A very, very indie deathmatch world. Steven Jensen, this is something that you do, covering it on the Weekender, talking about GCW and other hardcore styles of fighting. PCO gets the win. Let's talk about this match.
Yeah, as a matter of fact, I'll be recording the Weekender tomorrow night, a late night recording, because there's a Matt Tremont Deathmatch tournament tomorrow on IWTV. So a little plug for that, for the Weekender. That's the type of stuff I cover. Now, that said, yes, I have seen Cardona many times do the Ghostbusters thing, do the Deathmatch thing, the hardcore wrestling thing, but he does it very well. Like, he's super entertaining at what he does. And PCO is like, this is his bread and butter. Like, this is literally like when PCO is booked on really any show at this point, but especially a TNA pay-per-view, this is the type of match you're expecting. And they still come up with ways to, like, you know, I expect it to be brutal in a lot of ways, and they still exceed my expectations sometimes. Like, for instance, Matt Cardona did like a back body drop or something on PCO where he landed on the edge of the steps.
Yeah.
And just like, oh, you know, like, you know, using the thumbtacks in PCO's mouth. Like, we've seen that 1,000 times, but like, it still looked brutal. But then he follows it up with literally sticking them one by one into his face and into his cheek and stuff. So it's like, you know, upping the expectations of like what I'm expecting, you know? And I know this kind of stuff isn't going to be for everybody. I understand that 100%, but you know, you're expecting a death match and you don't know how far they're going to wind up going. And, you know, I wasn't expecting Cardona to like one by one stick tacks into PCO's cheeks. Like that was pretty wild. And then, you know, all the other thumbtack spots, you know, Cardona taking the choke slam into the tacks, a bunch of stuff into the tacks. Ultimately, PCO comes off the top rope with his moonsault, which he still hits really to perfection somehow. I've said it 1,000 times with you guys, you know, in over the years. Every time I watch PCO wrestle, I feel like it's the last time I'm going to watch PCO wrestle. Like, I feel like at some point, no, dude, seriously, because it's like, how many times can this guy go out there and his body just keeps taking this over and over and over?
And here's
over
the thing. And every time you say that, I rebut with, and the problem is, it's not going to be one of those crazy moves that does it. It's going to be the PCO salt, because by the time he hits it, you don't know if he's going to get the full rotation in time. But he does at like the last possible millisecond.
Yeah, see, he does it the tuck version, you know, like some people do the shooting star where, like, so Kidman used to do like the sketchy shooting star, right? Where he'd be like open and like sometimes his feet would come down and like hit the top rope, or like he'd land on someone's neck or something. But then like Paul London came around and was doing like the tuck version. It was like, you know, a way prettier version. The PCO does the tuck moonsault, and but I'm 100% there with you, Joel. And it's not like I'm wishing any harm on this man. I am a huge fan of what this guy is able to do. I just feel it's a privilege to watch this man do what he's doing on this, you know, but it's just feel like it's just so half this stuff is just so sketchy. And his shoulders like always dislocated, right? Like at any moment that thing could literally pop out of his arm, but he just goes out there and just keeps doing what he's doing. So I really enjoyed this match. I thought it was great.
Cresta.
You know what I'm about to say, because I say it every time PCO wrestles. Yeah, Elder Abuse! Elder Abuse! Honestly, I love everything. This match itself was great, but the blood was too much. Thumbtacks on thumbtacks was too much for me. Matt Cardona's gear, his song, Always Ready. That's going to be my theme song whenever I have to do something or I'm late. I'm always ready, but I'm not. Outside of that, this match was disgusting. I'm so soft. I am so soft. All of that blooded and PCO just walking around the end of the match with thumbtacks literally just sticking out his face like, oh, get this off my screen. And the match, I guess, was good, but this was me most of the time like, oh, please hurry up. Like, I don't really have notes. Everything I said, everything I wrote also Steven Jensen said. So same brain, but I... Personally, for me, this was a little... I'm squeamish. I'm old. And it's also, stop beating up this old man.
Yeah, it's understandable. Like, this type of... It's... I totally under... Like, I wasn't into deathmatch wrestling until a handful of years ago, until I started, like, really covering it. And then I've just gotten so numb to it now that, like, it's become entertaining to me. But I completely understand why this wouldn't be someone's cup of tea, for sure.
The thumbtacks are the most... unoriginal thing you can pull out of a black bag these days, but for some reason they did it and they made the most out of it. You stick tacks one by one into someone's face, that gets you talking. Because
that was gnarly.
Putting tacks in someone's mouth and kicking them, that has been done 100 times. We do slamming someone on the tacks, that's been done. Everyone's done that. But no one's done the sadistic thing, which is taking one by one and just just art piece, just using your kid as an art piece. My God. Another low blow, because of course that's the theme of the evening for the first half. And a lime green barbed wire bat after the character from the slime character from Ghostbusters. So shout out to Matt Cardona. A good match. PCO gets the win, retains his digital media championship. I feel like this is going to take a backseat for a little while until Steph DeLander is cleared to return. She just underwent neck surgery not too long ago. We send our best wishes to her as she goes through the recovery route. And you know what? Cardona, he's always fun to have around TNA and wherever you have him on TV, he's good times. So we'll move on from there. Mike Santana and Moose have a hell of a match. Guys, I've been telling you for how long, Mike Santana is next. And he's in the shadows of next. He's the guy who has these banger matches and has the white meat of white meat baby face, but still a little badass. But Mike Santana defeats Moose tonight. JDC's around as well. This is a really, really fantastic match. Just a good, solid babyface versus heel match. I don't think it's over between Moose and Santana. I would probably do one more personally, but I want your thoughts, Crest the Star, because you've been watching the rise of Mike Santana, and we've been praising this man.
This, unfortunately, for me, was another match that fatigued me, because this match was great. This match was good, but I was already tired still from every match still. And then this one, those chops from Santana to Moose were so disrespectful and loud. I want this particular feud to end, but I also don't want them to stop wrestling because they have a really good chemistry. And Santana, much like Moose, has no business being that tall and that fast. These guys are fantastic. JDC cheating left and right, much like Lish. Something's got to be done about these two people, because I've had it. Everybody hate the system, but nobody want to fight the system. I get it. I also would not want to step on Mike Santana's toes, because he'll rolling buck 50 me like he did to Moose. But at the same time, it's like, yeah, these guys should never know a moment of peace. Like, honestly, the system shouldn't be able to go to the cafeteria to catering without someone slapping their tray. They should never know peace. This match was great. But again, I feel like the pacing of, I don't know. Everything was good on this card, so I was tired by this point. I'm like trying to write and I'm falling asleep. And not because it was bad, but because I've had cheesecake again, and now I feel like the gout or the meat sweats or the diabetes. Either one, I was too much, too full.
Jensen, what do you think?
This is a great match. And Joel, you have been saying for a while that Mike Santana is next up, and I do think that the time is getting close to him being the guy. I don't know exactly when it's going to happen, but I do think that's a pretty good prediction. Now Santana's beaten all the members of the system, right? That was a big part of this story as well.
Yes, it was.
So it'd be cool if that, you know, if that's the end of this for him and he moves on, that'd be great. Otherwise, you know, you have other good matches, you know, that you could set up to get Santana ready for a world title shot. Because like the other, you know, hiccup there is going to be Kazarian, who we're going to get to, but he's also obviously in that mix as well, winning the gauntlet. So I'm interested to see where it goes from here with Santana, but I thought the match itself was really good. There was a good near fall where Santana kicked out of a spear, you know, got a pretty good reaction from the crowd. The finish was good too, with it was called the discus lariat, but what's he call it again?
Spin the block.
Yep. Yeah.
Yeah. And Santana's a guy who, like, you've been doing great on the indie scene as well, and like House of Glory and stuff. Like, he's really, really thriving as a singles wrestler all over the place right now. So it makes sense that TNA has a lot of faith in him, and, you know, they're giving him a big push seemingly. So, Joel, I know you said you might could see Santana and Moose maybe running it back. Like, hypothetically, if they don't do that, would you want to see Santana wrestle someone else, like a Josh Alexander or something like that? Or like, would you want to see Santana like next up for the championship?
No, I think Santana's at Genesis. We'll get to that a little bit later. Right now, he's either going to get Frankie Kazarian or he's going to get Josh Alexander. He's going to get one of the top heels. If they don't do Moose again, I would do Moose again at the WrestleCade show. Do that, maybe do a steel chain match or a dog collar match, something, because they're in North Carolina. It would make sense. It would be fun. It's WrestleCade. It's part of one of their bigger shows. It would be a lot of fun. These two also went hard at each other. They were hitting floor hurricane runners. They were doing buckle DVDs. They were doing 450 splashes. Like they were doing more shit to each other than they've ever done in other matches. And I appreciate that. They're not afraid to go after each other. Last thing about Santana. This is a guy that left AEW where he was making some good money, and he said, I'm betting on myself and I'm going out there and I'm going to be the man. And he has proven, not only on the independents but also on TNA, anywhere he's shown up, he has put in the time. I watched the guy sit with indie talent at shows that I've been to where he's been booked and take the time to talk to talent and take the time to be in the show, not just show up, get a pay, do his match and get out of there. He gives a damn. And he wants people to know that he is ready, willing, and hungry. And that's why I continue to go for Santana, because if you ever watched an interview that Jeremy and I have done with him on In the Weeds, he is very transparent about a lot of his background, a lot of his experiences. A lot of the times when he was out injured, the things he would talk about, man, brought a tear to our eyes. So go check that out. But Santana, to me, he's up next. And I think TNA also sees that. I'm looking forward to where that goes. You don't put him up against Moose in a high-profile match without expectations. For the guff that people give Moose, he's still a good wrestler.
Yeah.
He is still a guy who has been their champion multiple times over. They gave him a big old contract at one point, and they give a damn about Moose's opinion in the backstage of TNA. So that being said, Santana gets the win. Either we're going to move on or we're going to do one more with Moose. I would like to see one more.
I agree. I think with all the chain, there's a dog collar match in there at some point. I mean, even if, like you said at Genesis, even if Moose screws him out and says it's not over, that blow-off match, if you want to give some more time to Nemeth, you have Moose and Santana really have a dog. I would hate it because all of that blood, but it's going to be a fantastic match.
I'm not – okay. Tim, I'm not calling you out. I'm actually just saying if you go and you watch the videos that they released on this past week's episode of Impact – watch those, and if you don't consider Santana to be a top babyface, then I don't know what you're looking for. But also, wrestling is a subjective form of entertainment. If he's not for you, he's not for you. I can tell you when I watch him work and when I see his promos, I see it. I personally see it. I also
he's an anti-babyface, to be honest.
He is a little bit anti-babyface. I agree. Speaking of anti-babyface, Masha Slamovich is the new Knockouts world champion, defeating Jordynne Grace. If you watched our post show on Thursday, there was a little bit of a laugh and a surprise when the betting odds were favoring Jordynne Grace. And then over on Fightful Select tonight in our scoops thread, there was a rumor that Jordynne Grace was slated to retain the title as early as this week. And Cresta, you and I laughed at that and said, LOL, no, Masha is going to be the one to win. And she did. This was a hell of a match. Callbacks to their 2022 match. We got a bunch of super chats. I want to hit at least one of them right now. This from C. Delgado saying, Jordynne and Masha tore the house down. Happy for Masha. That's how you pass the torch to the next face of the division. Steven Jensen, you know a lot about Masha Slamovich. You've covered her in multiple promotions. Let's start with your thoughts on this match because there's a lot to get into.
Anywhere worth going is worth going in good boots, and you can find your perfect pair at Tecovas. Tecovas crafts quality Western boots for everyone, from generational ranchers and lifelong cowboys to first-time boot buyers, which is what I was up until a couple of years ago. Growing up in Kentucky, you see boots everywhere. But I never jumped into the game until I found Tecovas, and I love it. Every one of Tecovas boots are handcrafted with over 200 meticulous steps for broken-in comfort right out of the box. Whether it's a long day or a big night, your Tecovas are built to last and impress. That's why Esquire loves them and says they're the reason we keep coming back to Tecovas. They are so comfortable. Plus, with Tecovas Best in the West guarantee, you get free returns and exchanges for 30 days. And right now, get 10% off at tecovas.com/SRS when you sign up for email and text. That's 10% off at tecovas.com/SRS. That's tecovas.com/SRS. See site for details. Tecovas. Point your toes west.
How do you feel when you switch to Geico and save on your car insurance? It's like going to work on one Thursday morning and thinking to yourself, just one more day until Friday. But then somebody in the elevator says, Happy Friday! Then you check your phone quickly and discover today is actually Friday. So yes, Happy Friday, random stranger in the elevator. Happy Friday indeed. Yep, switching and saving with Geico feels just like that. Get more with Geico. How do you feel when you switch to Geico and save on your car insurance? It's like going to work on one Thursday morning and thinking to yourself, just one more day until Friday. But then somebody in the elevator says, Happy Friday. Then you check your phone quickly and discover today is actually Friday. So yes, Happy Friday, random stranger in the elevator. Happy Friday indeed. Yep, switching and saving with Geico feels just like that. Get more with Geico.
the current JCW Jersey Championship Wrestling, got to make that distinction, not Juggalo, Jersey Championship Wrestling world champion, Masha Slamovich, now also the Knockouts world champion for TNA. You love to see it. Masha is, regardless of gender, I think Masha Slamovich is one of the best wrestlers in the world. She's someone who could also become the TNA world champion because they do intergender wrestling. That's something I wanted to see for Jordan Grace for a long time. We talked about it a year ago when Jordan Grace won the Collier Shot Gauntlet. And she, as a matter of fact, she beat Bully Ray, a man, in the end of that match. And I was talking about it on the show. I think we were all in agreement. It was like, Jordan should go for the world title, not the Knockouts title. She's already been the Knockouts champion. And, you know, and now it all paid off, though, a year later in hindsight. Like, look at all she's accomplished going over to NXT with that thing. All the you know, everything that's come along with that, and how many eyes are on her now and how popular she's gotten in the wrestling world. Jordan Grace has had great matches and, you know, she had a great title reign. So things, and at the end of the day, things played out great because she also then wound up was able to pass the torch to Masha tonight. And, you know, I loved it. I loved it for a lot of reasons. You know, I really want more eyes on Masha just in general because of how good I think she is and how different she is and how much I think she brings to the table for any promotion she could be in. And now with her being the Knockouts champion, I think that opens it up to where maybe she does pop up on NXT, you know, like Jordan was. And that, I mean, just think about how many more people are going to find out about Masha Slamovich if that happens and how much bigger her name gets. And I think the world of her, I really think she's legitimately one of the best. And I can say the same about Jordan. I think these are two of the best, once again, not just women, two of the best wrestlers out there. So I thought this match was awesome. I love the finish as well. That Slamovich hit the snowplow off the top, but that wasn't enough. So she went with the White Knight driver, which is the move she normally uses on the indies to finish people. She uses that in a rear naked choke usually on the indies, but the snowplow in TNA. So it was cool to see her hit that White Knight driver for the three. Yeah, I can't say enough good things about her. And also about Jordan, like having, it takes two to accomplish this. Like Jordan had to have the run that she had for people to care as much as they do about her losing the title to the next person. And Masha was the right person. It's the right person, the right time. Like everything felt good about this. And there's also a lot of rumors about Jordan Grace's future and this and that. So it's like, it just felt like the time was right for Masha. And if not Masha, then who else? Like, I think Masha was the most deserving. People have wanted to see it for a long time. And I mean, she's going to be a great Knockouts champion going forward. So congratulations to Jordan Grace on a great title run. And congratulations to Masha Slamovich on becoming the new champion.
I had completely forgotten that she called, that she does, it's the White Knight driver, because I had written down it's the Queen's Gambit and she was paying homage to Deonna Purrazzo, another Knockouts champion who was aced in history. But I knew about the White Knight driver and I'm glad that you reminded me as well. Crest the Star, you've been following this along with me week to week and for the last few years, Masha's finally done it. I know you've been a big proponent for her. What do you think of this match and how you feeling? Masha Slamovich is the new Knockouts world champion.
The match itself was everything I wanted and more. Much like with the speedball match, I had high expectations for these women considering what they had before, and they blew this out of the park. And the larger scheme of things, I am so happy for Jordan Grace. I am so happy for Masha Slamovich. I feel like if there were a few elite women in TNA, and every woman in TNA, the Knockouts division, in my opinion, is the best out of the big three in North America. Period. That's just me. That being said, Jordan did everything and anything besides what Stephen Jensen said, besides the TNA World Heavyweight title. She did every and anything there was to do. And she did it with pride and with a smile. And it was phenomenal to me. Masha, we were saying last year should have won. Over this year, she should have won. This is the perfect time. If Bound for Glory is your WrestleMania, this is the perfect time to transition into a Masha who is just as strong, just as powerful, just as credible. Like, in a perfect world, there's a triple threat between Deonna, Masha, and Jordan, and they just beat up each other for my entertainment, and they fight forever. So this was fantastic. I have to give a special shout-out to the stretch muffler that Grace put on. I lost my whole place. Hold on. Because I have so many notes. There was a Tombstone German from Grace into a Kryptonite crunch, but only got a two on Masha. There was the double knees on Grace. There was the burning hammer, which I didn't even know Masha could do a burning hammer. Or was that Masha? Or was it Jordan? It was just so, I have so many notes. My notes look like
it was Masha.
It looked like a serial killer. That's how many notes I had. It's so, this match again, if you are someone who's like, well, I don't know anything about women's wrestling, please watch this match. This match was fantastic. It was everything you needed. Technical, beef, power, speed. It was fantastic. I cannot wait for what Masha does next. I cannot wait for what Jordan decides to do next, whether she stays in TNA or she goes anywhere else. And if she stays in TNA, I'm sorry, Santana and everyone else. She's coming for the World Heavyweight Champion, and I don't want to hear nothing. Okay, that's just my two cents on the whole situation. Joel, what did you think?
I'm going to hit a couple of super chats in a second, but that tombstone alley-oop German into the kryptonite crunch. I love it because it's that shades of Jerry Lynn, who's a former X Division champion. They did mention that on commentary. Really, really enjoyed watching that little homage, because that's one thing that Jordan Grace loves to do, is pay homage to former champions, especially the shades of Samoa. She does the muscle buster for Samoa Joe, or as we call him here, Samosa Joe or Rigosa Joe.
Samosa Joseph.
Sometimes he's Mimosa Joe if it's Sunday brunch opportunity. This match was just fantastic. You mentioned the heel hook into the stretch muffler. This is the type of match that you can watch in a vacuum too, because not only, they had the callbacks and they talk about it in commentary going back to what the 2022 Bound for Glory match was like, but even just the story of the match, Jordan Grace went after the left leg of Masha early and it basically played out from there. And everything built to a crescendo that made perfect sense for a match like this, from the headbutts to the super snow plow to hitting the White Knight driver and getting the win. The emotion was there for anyone who watched it and didn't even know what was going on, other than the long running champion just dropped her title to the next up. I really like this match. Get a couple of super chats here. Tim McFall, first of all, saying, I like Santana a lot, just haven't seen it personally. We'll go back and watch this past week's packages, though. And to be clear, Cresta, you're amazing.
Thank you.
He's burying you, Cresta. He actually secretly hates you. I knew it. And another one from Tim, thank you very much, saying, kind of disappointing pay-per-view. Maybe the women's match of the year and great X Division match were must-see. I will always pop for my crush, Ace Austin. We call him Quatzilla on this show. But otherwise, meh. And Cresta, the shenanigan and again and again everywhere is all your fault.
Then wait till I tell you about Wu Dang, and then your whole Instagram is going to be filled with that little baby hippo.
Oh, if y'all haven't seen the little baby hippo, you're living under a Wu Dang rock. Okay? Oh,
man, she's the best worst, because that's me. Eat, bite, sleep.
So the reason I bring that super chat up just now about being a meh pay-per-view is because we are now at our world championship match. TNA World Championship on the line. Nick Nemeth retains over Joe Hendry. Frankie Kazarian's a special guest referee, also the winner of Call Your Shot. Guys, I really love that he kept teasing in the most obnoxious way that he was going to go and cash in that stupid trophy. The guys would be down and he'd be like... He just run out of the ring and do it, and it made sense. It was silly, it was stupid, it was great. I warned everyone, I told you all this was going to be an overbooked absolute mess. I also told you all, and Steven Jensen can attest to this because he is following this man along all the independents that he's been working, JBL is at it again. John Bradshaw Layfield has been everywhere. If he's in MLW, he's a heel. If he's in GCW, he's a heel. If he's in TNA, for some reason, he's been a babyface because he's been with Nick Nemeth, who is a babyface. However, tonight pretty much solidified the beginning of the dominoes turning as he lays out Kazarian, babyface move, and then he lays out Joe Hendry after telling him we're cool, and then obviously not, and then he takes out Ryan Nemeth. I think it's just a collateral damage because we're going to find out soon enough where that plays out. Superkick Knickknack gets the man a win. Sorry, they call it the danger zone. It's the knickknack to me forever. It's a fine match. There were certain things I liked, certain things I didn't like before we get into those things. Cresta Star, Jensen, Hendry didn't do it. Cresta Star, I want your thoughts first.
I try to be positive Pauline, but I'm going to be negative Nancy here.
Let's go.
I don't mind that Joe Hendry lost. Okay, if it furthers the storyline, this should have still been your main event. I understand you want to send the people home happy, but I said this before we went live. Maybe I'm trained on WWE. It's okay if you go home mad if it makes sense in the grand scheme of things. I was thoroughly annoyed at the overbooked finish. I don't know. You Nemeth could have won clean. Why are you afraid to put the belt on Hendry? I don't know. I'm not a booker, but there were a lot of choices made, not choices that I personally would have made, but there were some choices. Decisions were also made, and JBL coming out, I knew that. Okay, whatever. Also, let me tell you what I did like, how they forgot to turn off the in-ring mics while they were doing the Joe Hendry intro, and Frankie Kazarian yelled at someone, "Your mother sucks." That was fantastic.
It was very funny. It was true.
But I mean, like, the match itself was fine. I think we could have done the finish differently, and if we were going to leave that alone, I would have rather the end shot be JBL staring in the crowd or whatever it is. I get why we did that, but what more does Joe Hendry got to do, TNA? Like, to quote my little brother, this is a very TNA thing to do. What more? What do you want from Joe Hendry's kidney? Like, what else do you want from? I get why. Like, Santana would beat him up. I don't want to see that. You know, like, he could beat up a Kazarian. He could beat up an AJ Francis. And if he's leaving, he's leaving. But what more do you want from Joe Hendry? Like, I don't know what else. What more do you want from him?
Jensen. Yeah. You've been following this too. You've been following the hot hand of Joe Hendry. So is Jeremy Lambert over on our show In the Weeds and over on the Spotlights. Talk to me about your thoughts. Joe Hendry does not get the job done again.
So I feel like Cresta, like, as far as if not now, then when, like, what does he have to do? I mean, like, is he going to, do they foresee him getting more popular and, like, getting hotter with the crowds and stuff? Because I feel like he was probably at the peak of what, you know, a lot of us thought he should have just won at the last pay-per-view in the multi-man. But they went with Nemeth, which, you know, I have nothing against Nick Nemeth, obviously. You know, he's a great wrestler, but it feels like the crowds wanted Joe Hendry for a while, not just on TNA, but also in NXT. And he's also, I know I talk about the indies a lot, but it's because I watch a lot of those shows, and, like, he does pop up on the indies as well, Joe Hendry and stuff, and, like, you know, gets big reactions wherever he's at. So, like, he's, you know, the fans seem to want it. But then there was also layers of this match that were just kind of funny and a little confusing as well. Like, for instance, Frankie Kazarian, they showed him earlier in the show reading Earl Hebner's book, which I thought was funny, right? Because it's like you're really leaning into the idea of a screw job, right? So during the match, Kazarian tries to cash in the gauntlet, but then, like, realizes he's not going to have time to do it, or he gets stopped or whatever. And then he tries to fast count Hendry the next time, and it's unsuccessful because Hendry still count, you know, kicks out before three, but it was a fast count. But then, like, a couple minutes later, Nemeth goes for another pin on Hendry, but he doesn't fast count. I was like, why wouldn't you just keep fast counting? If, like, you fast counted last time, it didn't make any logical sense. But once again, we're talking about pro wrestling, and I was also waiting on JBL to show up. Like, it was like a matter of time before JBL showed up. So, you know, the dynamic is interesting because, as you mentioned, Joel, JBL has been a heel everywhere he's been popping up, and doing what he's been doing, just coming out and clotheslining people and stuff. But this was a heel move tonight, and clearly a heel turn for Nemeth. So, you know, we'll see where it goes. But I totally understand the wrestling, the larger wrestling world, you know, as a whole, I understand them being disappointed, but I especially understand the weekly, like, diehard TNA fans being disappointed about this. Like, you know, I anyone who tuned into this show or paid money, like, mainly because they wanted to see Joe Hendry win the championship tonight, that obviously didn't happen. So that's, and it also wasn't the main event, but when it wasn't the main event, it's pretty obvious what was going to happen in the main, what was going to happen in the main event. It kind of, like, you know, it
telegraphed the finish.
Yeah, that's the word I'm looking for, telegraph. So, yeah.
So a couple of things. One, I'd actually push back that it's not even the weekly fans that are looking for Hendry to be the winner. I think the fans that are just watching on Twitter or on socials and seeing what Joe Hendry does and getting into Joe Hendry as just a character who also happens to be a wrestler, those people were the ones who were buying this pay-per-view expecting this to be his crowning moment. And I get that. And for some people, they're going to be pretty let down by something like this. I think for the weekly watchers, we started kind of figuring out, like, Kazarian got the referee assignment. You had the Call Your Shot gauntlet going to him. You had, I think there was enough going on that it was like,
him down a lot.
Yeah, yeah, but you couldn't overbook something like that and have this guy have his big moment in this big overbooked finish. This isn't Cody Rhodes a year, you know, this isn't WrestleMania 40, and you can't do that again unless you're doing it at Bound for Glory next year. That's the only time it'll work. So for me, it was, I was watching this and I'm like, I know what's going to happen because I'm watching the product and I saw that they were not doing this as the main event. They want to send the crowd home happy. And we'll talk about that in a minute when we get to the Full Metal Mayhem match. But like this just, it made sense because again, JBL has been appearing on all these places as a heel. He had to realign somewhere. And don't worry, I'm pretty sure that the guy that he represents in TNA is going to follow suit. Nick Nemeth is a much better heel than a babyface, in my opinion. But we'll get to that in a few minutes. Ryan Lambert says, I've been saying Joe Hendry will win the NXT title, not the TNA title. And that's entirely possible too. Who knows where he's going to wind up in the next year once his contract expires. And then Canadian Omega sends a super chat, says, I feel like TNA has the perfect had the perfect opportunity to reward Joe Hendry with a world title win in the record books. Frankie could have cashed in on Joe. My only pushback to this, and then I'll get you guys' opinion on this, is that that's the Bound for Glory 2021 finish when Moose cashed in on Josh Alexander after he won the Call Your Shot gauntlet. And friends, let me tell you, when I called that finish months before it happened, and then it happened, people weren't happy. People weren't happy with me for calling it. People weren't happy with TNA for doing it. It was not a popular decision. Jensen, I know you were there. You were watching.
I remember.
Do you think you could have gotten over with this again and had Frankie cash in on Joe and screw him out of the moment and then redo the chase? What do you think about that?
I mean, this might sound like a dick thing to say, and I'm just being honest. Like, I have no interest in seeing Kazarian as the TNA champion personally. So, like, I don't, like, you know what I mean? Like, so that would have not gone over well for me at all, because it's like, not only would Hendry have been winning and then, like, the crowd finally gets what they want, and then it's like, I don't know how many people now the chat might be able to might feel different than I do. Like, let me know in the chat, like, would, do y'all want to see Kazarian as the TNA champion? Like, of all the people on that roster right now, especially like some of the main people we're talking about, is Kazarian even anywhere near the top of that list for y'all? Because for me, it just feels like, you know, I would have been really bummed out if Kazarian, and especially because I do remember when they did that with Moose. So it's like, I would have been like, yeah, they just did this. They rehashed it with someone I'm even less interested in seeing have the championship. So I wouldn't have been into it at all.
Well, Anthem would have loved it because they gave him the assignment of the referee gimmick. If you watched the show this past Thursday, that was a whole other can of worms. We'll talk about the referee thing in a second. Cresta, thoughts on the idea of having Joe get screwed over by Kazarian?
Not necessarily in that way. I don't know the history personally of Frankie Kazarian, and I don't know if people are like, we need Frankie Kazarian to be champion, like he needs one more run. So I don't want to sit up here and lie and say I'm familiar with him like that. I will say, him being a heel champion is, he's a great MacGuffin for a Santana. You're a good starter feud, and you're a good, no one's going to feel bad if they take the title off of Frankie Kazarian. We've done it with Moose before, and the system does not need any more titles right now. And if not Frankie Kazarian, unfortunately, then who? Because you could put it on a Hammerstone, but I don't want to see Hammerstone lose. I don't want to see that. So I could see Kazarian being like, huh, I won. I did it. I'm the best. Who do you think you are? I am. And then a Santana beats the brakes off of him.
Finally, about the Kazarian thing. You made reference to Jensen, you made reference to the Earl Hebner school of refereeing that he's been pushing back on. What happened at Slammiversary, Jensen? Do you remember the Exhibition Championship match? Who showed up and absolved himself of all screw jobs of the past?
Yeah, Earl Hebner.
Yeah, why the fuck, pardon my...
Right.
Bringing this back around in 2024, 3 months after we just absolved Earl Hebner of all screw jobs.
That's such a good call. I completely forgot they just did that. Such a good call. They didn't reference that, obviously, on the show tonight for obvious reasons.
Yeah. don't mention, we brought him in for the show and did the whole thing. They didn't even try to hide him at Slammiversary, too. That was my favorite part. They thought it was going to be this. They had him on, like, the come and get an autograph from him. He was on the gold tier. Not important. But It's very strange. AO sends a super chat. Not the AO sending the super chat isn't strange. It's very strange that they decided to mention the Earl Hebner thing. AO super chat says, if casual folks claim to love Joe Henry, they'll keep watching to see what's next. The problem with that is while you hope that they will, if you burn them enough times, they will stop tuning in. And that is what you risk in a situation like this. Joe Henry is supposedly tomorrow night at the TV tapings going to sit down with Jeff Hardy after the show and play his guitar and have a concert. I thought this was going to be airing on Impact. It's not going to be, because you don't want the loser of the main title match and the new tag team champion, spoiler alert, we're about to talk about it, having a guitar concert thing going on. It was very strange. So you can't necessarily keep going back to that well too many times, because you've already burnt them twice on pay-per-view.
And that's not a cheap
deal.
I'm sorry.
No, go ahead.
I will also say, too, that I am somebody who came from the TNA. I'm not watching that. Thank you. You're funny. And now I will staunchly defend this product. That being said, if I am a casual fan and I already know the history of TNA, I would have saw that finish and I would have turned this shit off straight up. Straight up. I don't care about the main event. That it's one thing to lose. It's so schmozzy. Okay, maybe we'll see what happens next. But people, the main complaint is, I don't even know where to watch TNA. Oh, I'm going to watch TNA. I'm good on that. So you can't gain the interest and then be like, watch what happens next. Watch what happens next. No one's going to want to do that. It kind of sucks, because I think TNA is a great product. You have Speedball, Mike Bailey, Iho Devikingo in the beginning matches, Jordan Grace versus Smasha. There's so much to offer, but TNA unfortunately got a bad rep. It got a real bad rep where people are like, I'm not watching that. And you get people excited and then you do this and be like, well, you got my $60, never again. So.
Well, you know what? Listen, I get it. It was a deflating world championship match. Maybe you feel a little deflated. Maybe you're just feeling a little down and maybe a little droopy. Tell you what, let's help you out, shall we?
We've been telling you guys about Blue Chew for years and we ain't stopping anytime soon. That confidence, that performance, that edge that you're going to get in the bedroom and mentally when you check out BlueChew.com and the code FIGHTFUL. First shipment free. Yes, shipment. That's because you don't have to wait in line at the pharmacy, have any awkward conversations with doctors. You're questioned online, and if approved, this ships straight to your door. It excludes all the awkwardness. Now listen, so will that confidence. That's going to get rid of a lot of that awkwardness as well. Same active ingredients as Viagra and Cialis. You know it's going to work. They know it's going to work. And that's why they're willing to give you that first shipment free at BlueChew.com when you use that code FIGHTFUL. Take control. Handle your business. BlueChew.com and the code FIGHTFUL.
Head on over to BlueChew.com and the code FIGHTFUL. Get your dick hard?
Yeah.
All right. Yeah. Well, if that's not going to do it, maybe this will, TNA fans. TNA Genesis is returning. It's going to be January 19th, 2025 at the Curtis Colwell Center in Garland, Texas. Steven Jensen's upset because it's the same night as the People versus GCW. That's the Return to Hammerstein show. But more interesting than all of that is that TNA is going to try their hand at a live episode of TNA Impact the following Thursday. So on Thursday, January 23rd, there will be a live episode of Impact in San Antonio, and then they'll tape TV the next night. It's a pretty big deal. We got a couple of super chats, one from Sour Patch saying, do you think their new strategy in 2025 is to do one live Impact episode with one taping at a time and see how it goes? This is something that will be asked about, and I'm sure that it's a strategy that could work if they're trying to get people in the door, because live will always get people through the doors. TNA is aware of their retention rate when they do a live PLE or a pay-per-view, and then the next night they're going to see about 25-30% retention. If this is a way that they're going to get people through the door, then you can do that. Or you can do one live Impact and then tape another episode directly afterwards, and then or before, whatever it is, and keep moving from there. I don't mind the idea. Guys, when you heard about not only Genesis returning, but the live show, what did you guys think about that? I'll start with Steven Jensen.
So I got a little distracted. I was reading Sterling in the chat. Were you saying you take one Blue Chew when you're just chilling?
Versus Sterling.
I got so distracted on that. Yeah, I mean, obviously, I'm not happy about them running the same night as GCW, but I mean, you know, it is what it is. I'm excited for GCW's Return to Hammerstein. I thought that was hilarious. You and a few others sent me the that video that I'm in reading somebody else's super chat. It's so funny that like they used me in their own video package, and like I do nothing. For the last 6 years, I have been telling people to watch GCW, how much I love GCW, promoting the shows, going to the shows. And then they finally used me in one of their video packages. It's me reading someone else's super chat about them not liking their show. And I thought that was such a rib on me to Brett Lauderdale and the company over there. I love y'all, GCW. But yeah, no, that's really, I mean, I obviously don't have any issues with like their upcoming live schedules. I'll be, you know, tuning in for the big stuff.
And Krista, you heard about this. We don't get to cover live, but this is a new potential territory for us if we continue doing this because people are upset about Joe Hendry.
Listen, I've been with TNA for some more. Joe Hendry losing ain't the most disappointing thing I've experienced in TNA. I'll be real with you. It's up there. But I will say, if you're losing faith in Joe Hendry, don't. Stay tuned in, because for as good as Joe Hendry is, let me tell you about Leon Slater. And let me tell you about Steve Macklin and the run he's doing. Have you heard of a heel, Josh Alexander?
Don't talk about Steve Macklin. No.
You already sang his praises. Stop his head.
Stop it. Well, Leon Slater's going to be great for the future. He's still only like, 19, 20 years old? That guy's incredible.
Yeah, I mean, it can be disappointing and it's frustrating. However, I'm excited for TNA Live. Never seen a live show. Don't know why they don't do live shows. Don't know. Also, again, like Joe Hendry and Jordan Grace in particular will be fine. These guys now have a beautiful, shiny, bright career in front of them. Unless something catastrophically wrong happens, and knocking on wood, Allah, Buddha, Cthulhu, Jesus, whoever it is, praying that that doesn't happen. Praying to all seven Dragon Balls that doesn't happen. But these guys will be fine. Please invest more in TNA. Watch the product. It's a great product. It reshaped your ideas on Naomi and many other people. It can be frustrating, but don't give up hope. I could also understand if you do, but this is not the worst. Jordan Grace not going for the TNA Heavyweight Championship to me was the absolute worst. So this is not bad, because I know there's light at the end of the tunnel for Joe Hendry. So don't be mad. That's not the worst TNA thing that's ever happened.
Well, speaking of Joe Hendry, Sour Patch sent a follow-up super chat saying, do you think they'll have Joe Hendry challenge for the world title on the first live episode of Impact to draw buzz and subscriptions, have him win the title there? I don't know about that. It's an interesting idea, but keep in mind, this is also the end of January. We have two PLEs plus Genesis pay-per-view. I don't know if you want to stretch anything like that out too long. Again, I wouldn't be surprised if Santana wins the title at Genesis. Maybe Hendry's the first man up. But even then, I don't know. Anyone else think that Hendry will have a world title shot on the first live episode of Impact in God knows how many years?
What was the date on Genesis again? It was January
19th, the same 19th. Night as ECW.
Yeah, that's right. Okay.
I thought Hendry's contract is up next year. I'm not a scoops guy. That's not my department.
Yes, but head over to FightfulSelect.com and we have information on Joe Hendry's contract.
That being said, I don't know. I feel like the time to do it was now, and before he leaves, then drop it. To do it then, and then he leaves next week, is kind of like, that's a very TNA thing. I would still watch. I'd live. Grand opening, grand close, and then have Frankie cash in on him, and he'd really be pissed.
Oh, let's go. I don't think Frankie's going to have the call your shot for that much longer. But
did he call tonight, though? Because he cashed it in?
No, he didn't cash in. You cash in when they when the referee comes down and they make it official. It's just like Money in the Bank. Same old BS.
Sure.
Shall we move on to the main event?
Yes.
TNA tag titles are on the line. Full Metal Mayhem. The titles are above the ring. So it's tables, ladders, and Full Metal Mayhem. The Hardys have recaptured the tag titles. They beat The System and Ace of Base, also known as ABC, if you're whatever those guys are. We're Ace of Base here. This was a Jeff Hardy fever dream. Literally all over the ring is just Jeff Hardy's mind is literally on the mat. He has put his designs to everything, chairs, tables, the ring mat, the weapons that were used throughout the night. Completely unrelated. Did you know that TNA is doing a whatnot auction right now, and I'm sure that it has nothing to do with the mat that is going to be sold in pieces and signed by Jeff Hardy for you to buy over on Whatnot. So I'm sure that that's a thing going on right now. This match was fun. It got really hectic at the end. Shout out to Brian Myers. He is no longer Edge's bitch because he did the Edge spear. There were lots of really good spots here. I just wanted to call that run out right away. Hardy's win. They celebrate in the crowd. They're heading to North Carolina. Crest of Star. The Hardys are champions again.
Listen, I love ABC. The system deserves less than nothing. The system deserves to eat crow for the rest of their lives. They're a good heel fashion. You don't deserve any titles right now. We don't need you to do. We don't need you to stink up the joint. ABC losing, I am a stan. That's unfortunate. However, something is the Hardys, man. You can't go wrong with the Hardys. And now you get these guys on a babyface run. We love the Hardys. So whoever does beat the Hardys, if it is Jake something and Hammerstone, you'll beat the old man ass. And now you got a perfectly packaged heel team. Because whoever beats the Hardys, like, wow, you beat the Hardys. That's so mean. I can't believe you beat the Hardys. Like, okay, but they're also the Hardys. Like, they're like 9,000 years old at this point. We'll beat the Hardys. Of course you beat the Hardys. Like, I don't hate it. I don't hate it. I do have to shout out this one spot where Chris Bay, two spots, where he was on top of the ladder that the Hardys tried to construct, took 20 years. And the way he fell, he just felt like Yamcha hitting the ground. He just died. The second spot is when he's holding on. I'm like, yo, put your feet up. Don't let them. Oh, they're going to edge. They're going to executioner you. Oh, and I watched them die in 4K. Chris Bay, whatever you were selling that night, tonight, I was buying it. Outside of that, that's all I got. So we'll see. I don't want Jake something and Hammerstone to beat up these men because I admire them both. But I feel like that's where we're going. And what better way to make yourselves a dominant faction, a dominant heel tag team, by beating up the Hardys?
Yeah, but if they do that, I'm going to immediately say they're ripping off AEW with Lance Archer and Brian Cage and Private Party.
Oh, shut up, Joel.
I had to get that in because you do the Collision post show when Collision is worth talking
and
about.
And when it happens, I'm going to steal that. I'm like, this is what Joel Pearl said.
Fine. Give me my flowers. Steven Jensen, the Hardys are champions again. I know you're super jazzed.
Dude, I love this match. Like, so when this was getting started, I'm just thinking, like, this might be pretty good. Like, I'm expecting the greatest hits, right? We're expecting the Matt Hardy leg drop off a ladder. We're expecting the Jeff Hardy swanton off of, like, the biggest ladder. Like, we know what to expect, but, like, as long as they can keep doing their thing, they're going to stay over. Like, they've been over for, like, what did they say on commentary? They're getting close to, like, 40 years. That can't be accurate. Almost. Maybe I was watching something else earlier today where someone mentioned 4 years. Because I could see maybe like about 30 years now, maybe that makes sense.
I'm going back. I'm pretty sure they were doing 30, something like 95.
So they started in the late 90s, those guys, as like teenagers.
94. So, 94 was Matt Hardy's first televised WWF match.
Yeah, I mean, so that's a long time ago.
That's
yeah.
20 years. That's legit 20 years.
30 years.
Stop. So, oh, 4 decades. That's what they were talking about. Not 40 years. Four decades. That makes sense that they're nearing in on 4 decades wrestling. Okay. But yeah, anyway.
Also, don't hire Cresta for any of your mathematical needs in the future. Nope. You just learned that.
Don't ask me for math or reading. I don't read. I don't watch wrestling either.
That's cool. That's fair. So, but there was a lot. I mean, I can't. You touch on some of the spots. There's too much to get to. But like at the beginning of the match, the system gets taken out up on the entrance ramps, like through tables. And then there's like a big chunk of the match where I legitimately forget the system's even a part of it, because like the Hardys and ABC have like this great ladder match. And it's so funny because on commentary they can't say TLC match, but they're like constantly talking about how the Hardys, you know, made their name in this type of match and matches like this, like the Full Metal Mayhem specialists, but like they can't say TLC. But there at one point I'll mention, you know, and I saw someone in the chat actually bring this up way earlier, another one of those like lapses in like realism or whatever you want to call it. At one point, the Hardys took that gigantic ladder that they wanted to bridge through the other ladder, and it took longer to do that than it would have just to climb the ladder. And once again, I get it's wrestling. I understand. It's all just spots they're setting up. I understand. But if this was real, you could have gotten to the the titles in the amount of time it took to try to set that thing up. Now, granted, they use it to set some cool stuff up on the ladders. I get it. Also, when the system wound up coming back into the match, it was cool seeing them getting them hitting double side effects. So they used Matt Hardy's move through the tables on the outside, which was cool. I have an old neighbor. Shout out Linda, who lives right next door to me in my condo complex. She's got to be close to 80 years old, and I probably woke her up. I laughed so hard when Jeff Hardy tried to slide down the ladder on the chair. I laughed so hard at that,
bro. That was different.
Oh, I could think about was like a grown man going to McDonald's on like a tray and trying to go down the slide. Like that was like that was Jeff Hardy's equivalent of that. Like, because it didn't work at all. Like he just butt bounced a couple times. he lost the chair immediately. I laughed so hard at that spot. But then he saved it pretty quick though. Like he went right into what he was trying to do, but. I don't know why. I don't know if anyone else thought that was that fun. I thought that was so funny. But by the end of the match, you know, they hit that that sweet power bomb on the outside to the tables. You know, Chris Bay hit a really nice spot also where he did the Art of Finesse on. But like the whoever he hit it on was on the ladder, so he did like a big one where like and Ace Austin like assisted him. If you watch the replay, you could see that he actually pulled him like on the ropes to make him go higher. It was
Eddie Edwards, that springboard cutter.
Yes, that was real nice on Eddie Edwards. They also hit the 1-2 sweep, which is like, I love that finisher. Like, is it incorporates both of their moves together back to back? They hit that. This match legitimately exceeded my expectations. And when the main event went on as the when the world title went on as the co-main. As I mentioned earlier, and as we all kind of mentioned, it telegraphed. I was like, oh, the Hardys have got to be winning the main event. But the fact that they didn't go out there and just like, you know, the Hardys are at such a high level of clout or whatever you want to call it in the wrestling business for so long that they really can just go out there and coast if they wanted to. Like they can go out there and do hardly anything, make a lot of money. And, you know, people expect to see them in TLC matches and ladder matches and stuff like that, but they don't really have to do any of that stuff if they don't want to at this point, because they're still Matt Hardy and Jeff Hardy. They're still legends of the business. And the fact that they're still going out there and doing this type of stuff, and it still entertained me to that level. Obviously, I got to give credit to everyone else in this match too, right? Brian Myers, Eddie Edwards, Alicia also for coming out for her spot. We had Ace Austin and Chris Bay, who I think are two of the best wrestlers in the world as well, especially in TNA. Both those guys rule. So, like, everyone in this killed it. I thought this was a great main event, even though the result was predictable with the Hardys winning. I thought that the way that they did it, it thoroughly entertained me. So I really enjoyed this.
So let's talk about that real quick. Jeff Hardy does the WrestleMania 2000 Swanton from the top of the ladder. You also had, I mentioned the TLC spear, the Edge spear. Another one that maybe people didn't think about when Lish came in, that was the Spike Dudley WrestleMania 17 spot where she pushes the ladder. And then I don't know if you saw this. So Matt Hardy gets in the ring. What does he do? Do you remember what he does before he hits the Twist of Fate?
I can't remind me.
Into Bully Ray.
Well, he did it into the chair, or that was like the WrestleMania callback.
He takes off his shirt. Who was the other ring valet in that match that took off her shirt before she
Lita.
Hit him? She did the leader. And then coming in the Rhino spot with the kendo stick was Edward Edwards, but he was in the match anyway. They did a lot of those callbacks, which I really liked seeing because I grew up watching those. I know you did too, Jensen, watching those matches live at the time. Edward Edwards going through that table at the end, my God, looked like it hurts. And very rarely do you look at it and you really say, "Ooh, I hope he's okay."
So did Jeff Swanton. Like he landed like the back of his head on the ladder, it looked like.
Other table was like, "I'm not breaking. Fuck you, New Japan."
Yeah. Yeah.
Sorry, I swear to
you. I am the table. Yeah.
It was a hell of a match. Go back and watch it if you haven't already. Go take a look at it. We got a super chat here from Samuel Mackey saying, "That was the greatest double main event I'm wondering what the ANT stands for. But either way, congrats to Masha and the Hardys. Everyone involved killed it. This was really a fun match. It was three very different matches in the main event. That triple main event had very different outcomes and very different feelings coming out of it. I think we did a pretty good job of going through those feelings with our fans and with our friends here. I guess there's nothing left to do but to go home and go to sleep. So I'll start with you, Cresta Star. What you got going on?
After this, I'm going to go to sleep, guys. I love and respect you. Watch professional wrestling. TNA is amazing. If you're just tuning in with us for the first time, welcome. Hi, my name is Cresta Star. We go over all things TNA on Thursday, myself and Joel Pearl. And on special wrestling occasions, we get the lovely Steven Jensen in to talk with us. Typically on Saturdays, I am here on Fightful with Iridian and Rick, and we go over all things on Collision. But tonight was a special occasion. If you need more Cresta in your veins like a crack addict, I understand, because me too. I'm addicted to you, baby. Wednesdays, you can find me on TikTok and Twitch at Cresta Star. We go over all AEW stuff, and no, I don't show it on the screen because I don't want to get DMCA'd. Twitter, Cresta the Star. There's a link tree in my bio. Find me everywhere else at Cresta Star, even Blue Sky. Steven Jensen, where can they find you?
You can find me on X at Fight Talk _. Use code Fight Talk and independentwrestling.tv. Just lets the promotion or lets the platform rather know that I sent you their way. That's Fight Talk, all is one word with no spaces. IWTV.live or independentwrestling.tv. Check out The Weekender. That's every Sunday, sometimes Mondays, depending on the schedule of the independent shows that I cover. But I mainly cover independent wrestling over there. I plan on recording the show tomorrow night because tomorrow afternoon there is a Matt Tremont deathmatch tournament that I want to include in the results. We'll have a lot of H2O and TWE talents as well. They've had a big weekend with both those promotions the last couple of days leading into tomorrow. So The Weekender is where to go if you want more about independent professional wrestling. And please check out The Spotlight on Fightful Overbooked. It's myself and Jeremy Lambert. We cover everything over there, WWE, AEW, indies, and we always have interviews for y'all as well. If you never check the show out, we really appreciate y'all. We're an early show, so I know that it's hard for anyone on the West Coast to watch us live and stuff like that, but we're on demand, so check us out on the Fightful platforms, and we're on 8:30 a.m. Eastern time, live every Thursday. The plan for the interview this week is to have Bobby Flacco return to the show, who is the current Action Wrestling World Champion. He just won the title from Manders about a week ago, or actually about a week ago now. So if you're into indie wrestling or want to know more about indie wrestling and hear from Bobby Flacco, ayo, Bob's here. He should be on the show on Thursday. So check that stuff out. And I appreciate seeing y'all in the chat as always. Appreciate seeing Cresta and Joel. So I always really look forward to being here, four times a year doing these TNA pay-per-view reviews with y'all.
We are back on this channel, not us, but someone. It's going to be Kate and Alex. They're going to be doing tomorrow night the NXT Halloween Havoc post show, because that's a show that's happening tomorrow, if you didn't already know. So we're going to be back for that. Thanks to our sponsors for tonight's show, BlueJew, betonline.ag. Go check them out. Please bet responsibly, and please use your you-know-what responsibly as well. I am at Joel Pearl, J-O-E-L-P-E-A-R-L. I am live Thursday nights with Cresta Star reviewing TNA Wrestling here on this channel. And then over on our sister channel, Fightful Overbooked, you can catch myself and Jeremy Lambert every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, 10 a.m. Eastern, talking about the world of wrestling. We're a morning show, so we don't always stick to wrestling. Sometimes we go off on tangents. Why does Jack Perry have all the money from 90210 and he's going to buy out Jon Moxley? We talk about that over on In the Weeds. So for Jensen, for Cresta Star, ladies and gentlemen, friends beyond the binary, we'll see you in the next one. Cheers.
Bye.
How do you feel when you switch to Geico and save on your car insurance? It's like going to work on one Thursday morning and thinking to yourself, just one more day until Friday. But then somebody in the elevator says, "Happy Friday." Then you check your phone quickly and discover today's actually Friday. So yes, happy Friday, random stranger in the elevator. Happy Friday indeed. Yep, switching and saving with Geico feels just like that. Get more with Geico.
Professionals spend nearly half the work week on written communication, so focus is important. With Grammarly as your AI writing partner, focus and quickly get through work with relevant real-time suggestions. And it works across 500,000 apps and websites, so you can sound more confident and persuasive wherever you write. 93% of professionals report that Grammarly helps them get more work done. Download Grammarly for free at grammarly.com/podcast. That's grammarly.com/podcast.